I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. A year ago this week, American voters made history by making the decision to send Barack Obama to the White House. He promised to change, not only from Bush-era policies, but also from the Bush-era political style, both at home and abroad. Since taking office, though, President Obama has faced a number of challenges that are as extraordinary as his victory last November. He is commanding wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, trying to kickstart the nation's sluggish economy, and searching desperately for common ground on how to overhaul America's broken healthcare system. So today, among other NPR programs, we decided to review what Obama has accomplished thus far in his presidency and what remains undone. Later in the program, we'll talk about how Obama is viewed in particular by Latino voters. Why? Because this group of voters is believed to have made the largest shift in party loyalty from the previous election. So how is he doing with this key constituency now? First, we called Steve Hildebrand. He is the former deputy national campaign manager of Barack Obama's 2008 presidential campaign. He's a Democratic strategist and president of Hildebrand Strategies. In a few minutes, we'll also speak with Lester Spence, an assistant professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University and a regular in our barbershop segment, and Lenny McAllister, a political commentator, blogger, and member of the Hip Hop Republicans. I welcome you all. But Steve, let me start with you. Let's start with substance, and we'll talk about style and tactics later, if you don't mind. And I'm going to start with you because you're among the people who helped Barack Obama get elected. But in recent months, you've been critical. You're saying he needs to be bolder in his leadership. So what is your what's your view now? Is he fulfilling the expectations you and millions of others have had for him?
I believe he is, Michelle. I think he's really taken hold of the healthcare debate, which is critically important and something so many of us who work so hard for him care about. He is, you know, certainly in command of these two wars under incredibly difficult and challenging circumstances, I might add. There's always certain difficulties any president faces in the first few months of their term. There's no president in history that's faced as many challenges economically, foreign policy-wise, than this president has. And I do think he's done an excellent job setting a foundation to get this country back on track.
When we spoke to you a couple of weeks ago, you were more critical. What has he done to turn around your assessment of your particular criticism, as I recall it at the time, was that he was not being bold enough on his priorities, the particular priorities on which he campaigned and on which you helped him get elected. And you're particularly concerned that you didn't feel he was showing enough leadership on health care. There's also the matter of the hate crimes legislation. I want to mention he signed last week. It had been stalled for 10 years, expanding federal hate crimes protection for gays and lesbians and the disabled. So are there any particular steps that he's taken to improve your assessment of his performance?
Well, like I said, on health care, he really has taken charge of that particular debate. The very, very important and compelling speech that he gave before the members of the House and Senate, where he was very clear to lay out his priorities, to lay out what he believes is best in terms of reforming the health insurance industry and the way we deliver health care for, you know, millions of Americans who don't have health care. He was also, you know, very clear that evening when false attacks are made, whether it's on healthcare or other issues, he's going to call those folks on the carpet, and I think he's done that very effectively to make sure that the truth is out there.
Lenny McAllister, let's bring you into the conversation. You are a conservative and a Republican, a self-described hip-hop Republican. How do you assess President Obama's performance a year after the election?
Well, I don't think he's lived up to a lot of the promises that he said that he was going to do, one of which was take us to a new point of post-partisanship and post-racial America. That was a lot of the promise that he campaigned on. It wasn't necessarily policies that you heard so much of, but it was the fact that we were going to be able to come together, work together, and take us all to a new place and time, neither of which have occurred. We've seen racial incidents jump up to a rise in a level that we haven't seen in a long time, and it's been a crescendo.
Is that his fault? You think that's his responsibility?
I think that that was part of the promise that Barack Obama as a candidate had that has not been fulfilled as a president, the same as the post-partisanship. I think that one of the few examples of him trying to tie the bridge between the Democrats and the Republicans has been on the health care when he he presented his option back in September at the speech that he had in front of Congress, joint session of Congress, where he basically tied some of the Republican ideas together with what some of the Democrats wanted to bring together. But that's been one of the few examples of him bringing leadership that didn't lean more on his supermajority than it does on, look, we need to do this together, and we need to come out of this as a leader that unifies. I just think he hasn't lived up to that quite yet. Now, there have been some daunting tasks. I'm not going to say that he came into a rosy situation, but he is the president, and one of the discouraging things that I hear on the street is hearing how people are saying, well, he's only been in there for a year. We keep extending how long he's, quote-unquote, only been in there. At some point in time, this dynamic figure, this electrifying leader, has to start bringing about tangible results. If we don't start seeing tangible results, then we have to start talking about a presidency that's more fluff than substance. And that's, we're starting to get to that crux now.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking, this is the week that President Obama was elected to the presidency, and we're assessing his performance so far. I'm speaking with Democratic strategist Steve Hildebrand. You just heard from Republican commentator Lenny McAllister. Now I'm going to bring in political scientist Lester Spence. Lester Spence, what about that whole post-racial issue? And I'm going to ask you two questions about this. On the one hand, yes, there are those who insisted that this president would usher in some sort of a post-racial era, whatever that means. And there are those who, even if they don't agree with his politics, did appreciate or do appreciate or thought they would appreciate Barack Obama as a racial symbol. Do you see an impact in either of those two areas?
I think that the jury is still out. One thing that I do think is really important for people to acknowledge is that I think we've seen an interesting shift in the way that different groups of people actually view the presidency, and I think that is a racial dynamic, where I think that African Americans, by and large, have a lot more respect for the presidency as an institution than they did before Barack Obama was elected. And I think that whites, on the other hand, probably have a little bit less respect for the institution of the presidency after Barack Obama was elected.
Now, is that a racial dynamic or a partisan dynamic in your view?
Well, they interact, right? They're related. So it would be very difficult for us to imagine someone shouting, "You lie," to the president, and when he gives a speech at this in Congress, if that president was white, right? On the other hand, and this is anecdotal, I recall me feeling a great sense of that he was being disrespected when I would see commentators actually be critical of him. And this is something that I never felt before, even when the president was of my political party. So I think that it is a matter of partisanship, but it's a partisanship that changes specifically because of his race.
Interesting. I want to pick on some of the social aspects to the president as a sort of a symbol. And in a little later, we are going to continue this conversation for a couple of more minutes. Steve Hildebrand, let's go back to you. Let's talk to me, if you would, about Lenny McAllister's point about partisanship and post-partisanship. You know, we find that there's been a lot of conversation about whether the president is reaching out across party lines or whether he's spending too much effort reaching out across party lines and to little effect. What is your take on this?
Well, you know, let's be clear. First of all, he was elected a year ago. He only took office 9.5 months ago. So we're 9.5 months into his administration, not a year. That's not a long time for any president to try and take care of all of the problems that this one was handed to from the previous administration. Number two, this president has tried very hard to reach out across party lines. He's had numerous meetings with Republican members of the House and Senate, many phone conversations. He has invited in some of the most critical conservative commentators to sit with him in the Oval Office to have a conversation. He has worked very hard to get Republican support for health care, for health care reform. And keep in mind, bipartisanship is a two-way street. Name a Republican who has worked really hard to reach out and work with President Obama. You don't find them. You can maybe point out Olympia Snowe, who's been very clear that she won't even support the Obama plan, which includes a public option So she voted for a health care reform coming out of the Senate Finance Committee, but she did not. She was very clear that she won't vote it for it on the floor if it includes a public option. So there's not one Republican right now who is even working to reach out and effectively work with this president on the racial stuff. Michelle, I want to address this because I think it's really important.
Please, you have about a minute and a half before we have to take a break.
Conservative commentator after conservative commentator goes after this guy. Now, ironically, you know, whether we saw it in their little charades on the Capitol Mall or during the August recess when they were sending conservative folks to town halls to disrupt these town halls, you know, photos of the president of the United States with a Hitler mustache on. Now, is that a racial attack of some kind? What kind of an attack is that on the president? Whether he's white or black or Hispanic or Asian, it doesn't really matter. The bottom line is they're comparing this president to Hitler with really no basis for that argument.
I do believe that there were pictures of President George W. Bush, or his predecessor, in a similar light. I'm sure we all saw pictures of that during that.
And I would be just as critical of those people who did that.
So you're saying you don't think it's racial? You think it's partisan?
I think it's just reflective of the overall political atmosphere? Craziness.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to compare somebody to Adolf Hitler, have some basis for that attack, for that comparison. And if you don't, then stop doing it.
You can attack this
president for various things, whether you agree or disagree with him. But the bottom line is, you know, you don't go out and deface the image of the president.
I'm sure that Lenny McAllister is going to want to respond, and I'm sure we'll want to hear more from Lester Spence. But we need to take a short break right now. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Steve Hildebrand, Lester Spence, and Lenny McAllister. We're talking about the anniversary of President Barack Obama's historic election. That was a year ago this week. We're going to talk about what he's accomplished, what remains undone. That's coming up on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, he's fierce, he's fabulous, he's Christian Siriano. The winner of the fourth season of Project Runway joins us in a few minutes to talk about his new book on what else being fabulous. That and my weekly commentary are later in the program. But first, along with other NPR programs, we are having a conversation about Barack Obama's historic election. It was a year ago this week. We're talking about Obama's impact on the country and the world with Steve Hildebrand, Deputy National Campaign Manager of Barack Obama's 2008 presidential campaign, and Lenny McAllister, a political commentator, blogger, and a member of the Hip Hop Republic. And Lester Spence, an assistant professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University. Before we took a break, Steve Hildebrand was talking about some of the criticism directed at Barack Obama. He feels, I think I'm paraphrasing him accurately, that it just goes beyond the pale. And we were discussing various reasons about why that might be so. Lenny McAllister, what would you like to say about that?
Well, there's a lot of things I would like to say about what Steve is mentioning. You know, he has only been in office for 9.5 months, but if you look at the level of spending that's come out of Washington, D.C., and you look at the misses that this administration has had, if we do the stimulus package in February, we'll cap unemployment at 8% maximum. We're about to hit 10%. Tim Geithner was on television on Sunday.
The Treasury Secretary.
Yes, and he's directly danced around the issue, but eventually was held down to, hey, we're going to hit 10% and go a little over that. So we've missed with unemployment. The stimulus package has not created jobs. Cash for Clunkers went over budget by 200%. And even with issues when we were giving these bailouts, a lot of it, the criticism was initially, and it still has been, with the executive bonuses and payouts that came out as a result. We're giving money to institutions such as Bank of America, AIG. We're still seeing these layoffs. Wall Street's recovered, but Main Street has not, and that was one of the big themes from last year is we need to help Main Street before we help Wall Street. Well, we look a year later, Wall Street has hit 10,000 again, and we're still losing jobs. You look at the Obama plan for health care. Part of the reason why the Republicans can't get on board with it is because it's so far left. That government option stays in there, and even when you have people such as the senator from Connecticut, Lieberman, saying that, hey, this is going to increase taxes, this is going to hurt Americans more than we feel it's going to help Americans, how can the Republicans get on board with that? Now, I do want to get to the other point in regards to the racial situation. The race baiting is wrong. Some of the things that I saw as a speaker at the Tea Parties as an African American, I had to hold people accountable and say, look, that's over the line. I will not tolerate this. When you see President Obama with a bone in his nose, that's racial, it's ignorant, and it's wrong. But at the same time, when you look at some of the other comparisons, including the Hitler comparison that we saw with Bush and with Obama, Americans don't like when they see their presidents doing what they see as an attempted power grab. You saw with Roosevelt when he tried to expand the Supreme Court back in the 30s. You've seen it with Bush when the Patriot Act came out, and you've seen it with Obama with some of these issues now. Americans react to that very, very negatively, and I think that's where some of that pushback has come. That is not racial. That is Americans trying to make sure that government does not expand too much and infringe upon their personal liberty.
Let me finally, we only have a couple minutes left. I want to hear from Lester again before we let you all go. But I want to ask you briefly about what effect do you think the Obama effect, whatever it is, has had on Republicans and conservatives? When people sustain big losses, they one of two things happen, and sometimes both. Sometimes there's tremendous infighting and finger pointing and blame giving, and sometimes it's a unifying thing to be in the opposition. What do you think the effect of Obama has been on Republicans and conservatives?
Well, I'll say this quickly. It's been both. You've had some finger pointing, but you've had some unifying. I think the Obama effect has led to the Tea Party effect, which has had some ramifications in places, including Charlotte, where a couple of our Tea Party candidates now are in the general election coming up this week. At the same time, though, you've seen the infighting where people such as a Michael Steele are seen as being too moderate within the Republican Party, but yet he's heading the RNC. And you've had these type of skirmishes going on, but I think moving forward, what you'll find is the Republican Party will continue to attempt to diversify itself, mold its brand, and try to make it more rounded so that when 2010 and beyond comes along, they can sell the Republican brand back to everyday Americans in a way that they have not been able to do so in the last 40 years, and that includes urban America, which includes, of course, African Americans.
Okay, Lester Spence, let's hear from you. A final thought, if you would, on what do you think overall the Obama effect has been on the country?
I think I could just conduct an experiment, and I'm looking at the results now. One of the more interesting findings that I have to dig into is that whites actually disagree least when Obama, as opposed to another elite, proposes a pro-government solution. So what this actually points to is that one of the possible Obama effects is that he's actually moving the country back towards government solutions, which is where we need to be. And then secondly, I'd like to really So they posited that the unemployment, that the stimulus would reduce unemployment to 8%, and right now they're 25% over that goal. I think it's really important for us to understand the historical context, because the previous administration actually argued that it would only cost $50 billion to go in and out of Iraq, and we've spent how much more than that now?
And Steve Hildebrand, if we could have a final word from you, the Obama effect overall.
Well, first of all, thank you for having us. Look, I do think it's very important for people to take a historic look at what he was handed 9.5 months ago. More problems than any president faced at the beginning of an administration in history. And I do think that things are getting back on track. He told us from the very beginning that this was going to be a slow recovery. Last week, we saw the first signs of a real recovery happening, and economists around the country agreed on that. He didn't start these wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. The bottom line is, as president, he's got to make sure that we finish them and get out of there safely, and that's exactly what he's working on. On the healthcare piece, you know, you look at Joe Lieberman. Joe Lieberman's not a Democrat. Let's keep that in mind. He's not a Democrat. He's a former Democrat. He's now an independent. And he also represents more insurance companies than I think any senator in the United States does. And so, of course, he's not going to support a public option, which would force insurance companies to reduce their rates in order to be competitive, which is a bottom line principle for any healthcare reform. So Joe Lieberman, of course, he's not going to support it. He supports the insurance companies.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there for now. And it's unfortunate we didn't get to the international scene. So obviously that's a conversation we're going to need to have later in the week. So thank you all. Steve Hildebrand is a former deputy national campaign manager of Barack Obama's 2008 presidential campaign. He's a Democratic strategist and president of Hildebrand Strategies. He joined us from South Dakota Public Broadcasting in Sioux Falls. Lester Spence is a political science professor at Johns Hopkins University. He's a regular in our barbershop roundtable conversation. He joined us on the phone, along with Lenny McAllister. He's a political commentator, blogger, hip-hop Republican. He's the author of Diary of a Mad Black PYC, that would be Proud Young Conservative. He also joined us on the phone from Charlotte, North Carolina. I thank you all so much.
Thanks for having us.